Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Now Bolt. And it's Tony Adams put through by Steve Bolt. Would you believe it? That sums it all up.
Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You're listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast. And I've got Ian Stone with me this Woo-hoo. Evening. How are you, Ian?
I'm fine, Al. You know, I'm still here.
Still here. Not dead. Not dead. We'll take that. Riddled with COVID.
No, don't appear to be.
Not in the bottom three. And Damien Harris is here, the midfield general.
Hey, hello.
In the house, in his house, for the foreseeable. We're all stuck where we are now.
Yes. No one's going anywhere.
All our Christmas plans are screwed.
Yep.
As are yours, I'm sure, listener, wherever you may be. So I hope you got some sprouts in time.
You like sprouts? I saw this on the 2 Minute Chat Show. You like sprouts?
Yes, I do like sprouts.
Yeah, okay,
fair enough. The 2 Minute Chat Show, listener, is a thing you can watch on Twitter, the comedy store with Mick Ferry. He's a Man United fan, but we don't hold that against him. And he's doing the 2 Minute Chat Shows with comedians to raise money for... Is it Make-A-Wish Foundation? Yeah. So do go and have a look at those and make a donation if you can. I mean, let's face it, you've got plenty of time on your hands. They're 2 minutes long.
That's true.
It won't take you much longer to donate a quid.
And you're not going to be spending much money on shopping, are you? Let's be fair. No.
But I thoroughly enjoyed doing that. And so, yes, and I revealed the big reveal of my contribution was that I like Brussels sprouts.
It does sound like you really like them as well.
It just reminded me that I'm not going to be getting Michelin starred Brussels sprouts this Christmas.
Oh, so you can't. You normally have it at the Sportsman. This is an opportunity to plug the Sportsman.
Right, I don't.
Sorry, so take your chances.
Very nice.
But it's closed. But I mean, you know, the finest restaurant in North Kent, which is run by Damien's brothers.
Yeah, that was
a Michelin star. It's normally where he goes for Christmas lunch.
First time I'll miss it.
By the way, and you're saying the Brussels sprouts are good there, because I'm not a fan of sprouts, but if they're Michelin-style sprouts, I might try them.
Bacon and butter, basically, is the key to making Brussels sprouts nice.
No, but why don't you just have the bacon and butter then? Can I just ask the question? Why?
Because you need a bit of green. You need a bit of green.
The answer always... These sprouts don't taste so good. We better kill a pig. Why is that always the answer?
All right,
you know what would help this? Let's kill a pig. That'll sort this dinner out. Get a sausage. That sausage isn't good enough. Kill another pig and make some bacon and wrap it round the first pig.
Sorry. Before we got all fancy with our food, so we always used to have Sabutio on Christmas afternoon after dinner, and we used to call it the Mr. Whiffy Challenge Trophy because everyone goes, now a word from our sponsor, have fart, you see. So that was our sort of our post Christmas dinner for many years was the Sabutio. Yeah. There you go.
It's just making me depressed.
Sorry.
Well, you wait for the rest of the podcast, mate.
I said to the gentleman when I sent out a message about recording today's pod. We're recording this, listener, after Leicester City have just won 2-0 away at Spurs. So we feel a little bit chirpier. Yep. Spurs go to the top of the league and then go massively Spursy and get 1 point out of 9. So we feel a little bit chirpier. But I did say to the gentleman, if you could bring a topic to talk about... be appreciated, so we don't have to talk about the Arsenal. And so far, we've got Damien's farting brothers, and that's...
Well,
I think we might have to talk about the Arsenal, might we?
Which is, ironically, the name of the restaurant we first put. That was one of the early ideas.
Sounds like a circus act.
Yeah, exactly.
The farting Harris boys.
I did say to Rosie and my son Elliot, neither of whom particularly like football, what should I talk about? Have we got anything, stories for the podcast? And she went, what, not about football? I thought it was a football podcast. I thought, yeah, how long have you lived with me that you don't understand? I was walking up the stairs.
And they didn't pay any attention.
None at all. I was walking, it was fair enough. I was walking up the stairs and they said I looked like somebody going to the condemned cell. Dead man walking as I'm walking up the stairs.
Well, that's exactly what I look like. It's very similar. We are, where are we? We're a couple of days away from a League Cup tie against Man City, which is, I mean, what do you think? Are you up for watching it?
Well,
I can't bear it at the moment. Maybe we'll get to that. I've just found out that I'm working on that day and it's an absolutely immovable studio date. So if we do get to the League Cup final, it'll be the first final off. Ever missed, I think. I couldn't go in August, but watched it on the box. That's what we're up against next. It's Manchester City.
Reserves. Manchester City reserves.
Yeah.
Didn't
they love winning it, though, didn't they? Guardiola loves winning the League Cup.
We're a good cup team, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Didn't someone in the co-commentary yesterday, I've tried to sort of put it out of my mind, who was it? Who was co-commentating the game? Oh, Jamie effing Carragher. And he said, they'll probably win that. And we probably will win that. Yeah,
He did say that. He was sort of joking, wasn't he? Saying as we're a good cup team. But yeah, no, I heard him say that and they're laughing at us. That's what really upset, well, one of the many things that upset me. Yesterday.
Not as much as Boris... Clive effing Tilsley. I'm doing the effings. Are we all right with the... Because I've got F off Theo as well on my notes.
Really?
Theo looked very happy. Well, should we talk about that game first? We played Southampton a few days ago and went behind early on to a Theo Walcott goal. Miriam had the worst game he's had since he joined us. Yeah. And I thought it was a very bad sign in the kind of general decline, week-on-week decline of this Arsenal team, that one of the mainstays who's been consistent all season, has only had one booking all season, suddenly deployed in the middle of a three, decided to do what he did against Man City when he followed Aguero up the pitch. He decided to keep going up to halfway and trying to win the ball.
Yeah.
And in doing that, got caught out and was really responsible for the goal. And then got booked twice and sent off. I can't understand. Why is he doing that? And I couldn't really work out why. Had he been told, you got two behind you, you go and get tight. They like to come short, get tight to Che Adams, go and get tight or walk off. What? Committing silly fouls. And the goal that Southampton got, he got very tight to Adam, tried to win it, couldn't win it. He turned. And Kieran Tierney had Walcott behind him.
Yeah.
And so he turned a kind of full 180 to face Walcott and then start sprinting. And in that time, Walcott had gone past him, whereas he was leaning towards goal on the half turn. If he just turned and run, he might have caught him. And then Bernd Leno ducked his head under the shot.
Well, did you have any doubt that Walcott was going to score that? Because I didn't. Not for one solitary second.
I thought he was going to drill it. I was hoping for the cross come shot out of play, but I didn't.
The classic Theo.
He kind of chipped it very softly. And Leno, did he shut his eyes? He had his hands up. The ball went through his hands. Thinking that's a very savable attempt. It went over his head and between his hands.
I'm not blaming him. I mean, I know what you mean. But they're all
in the still photo made it more damning.
Yeah, that's true.
He ducked his head.
Yeah,
but it didn't think. Oh, what a courageous! It was not very Bob Wilson. And I just remember seeing when we went to White Hart Lane when David Seaman joined, and he had his first game away at White Hart Lane.
All the one-on-ones.
Lineker had 4 one-on-ones. It was a goalless draw, I think, in the end. And Lineker had 4 one-on-ones, and Seaman saved everyone. I mean, wow. Really, it was incredible. And he turned around, he gave us a thumbs up and winked, Seaman. We thought this, because we quite like Blind John, you know. Blind John was a good keeper and he'd won the league and he hadn't done anything wrong, really.
Yeah.
But Seaman turned up and it was something else.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that Walcott one, I'm thinking, Seaman just stands there and Walcott thinks, oh, I can't score this, and doesn't score.
You know what? I do think you're torturing yourself if you compare our current players to some of our former players.
I know that is true. I mean, you can't even look.
Why do that?
Can you?
No. You know what? We have got what we've got. And I just think Miriam had a bad day and got a bit infected by the sort of adult brains that the rest of them had got.
It was,
Does he think that the midfield aren't going to win anything, so he's got to go and get stuck in?
It was a weird decision to come herring all the way to the halfway line and get turned like that.
Yeah. Once you go up there, your job is to stop him turning, right?
Yeah, you've got to
Him turning. He got so close to Theo for the sending off. Theo's actually holding him, trying to pin him. He's trying to pin him so he can turn him. I mean, that's so naive, that defending, to allow that to happen, to be rolled like that by someone who's so quick.
Yeah. The first yellow was that for kicking the ball away?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, it was interesting what Aubameyang said about when you're desperate, when you're trying a bit too hard, you know, sometimes you make stupid decisions, which I know is no comfort.
Who's trying too hard?
I mean, Willian.
No one's trying
too
certainly,
hard. Well, let's wait for Willian.
I mean, they pointed out, didn't they, on the highlights, as soon as the first whistle went, the Arsenal players all stepped 2 yards backwards. They're all just crapping themselves.
Yeah, is a little bit of that.
I've never seen a team in an Arsenal shirt with less passion and fight and drive to get after the opposition and dominate and win balls.
No, I've never seen a worse Arsenal team in my life.
I mean, the confidence has just absolutely evaporated.
Yeah.
We ended up getting a goal because Bukayo Saka beat three men and it was a nice little flick by Nketiah.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was a good goal.
And that was a good little moment. But
we held on for a draw and I thought they battled away, didn't they? But there's... It's the most ineffectual Arsenal team I've ever watched. I mean, they look... Somebody put... Reece James, the comic, who's a Tottenham fan, said, is it possible to have minus XG? And I said to him, welcome to my world, right? Because I think we look like we'll never have a shot on target again.
Did you see the stats they put up on the screen yesterday in the game? Yeah. I'll read them to you. Premier League, this is since the October international break, where really we have been awful since... Arsenal scored 3 goals, that's the worst in the league. 27 shots on target, that's second worst in the league. 35% of our shots accurate, worst in the league. And our shot conversion rate of 2.9%. We scored with 2.9%.
And we're not having many shots.
We've only had 27 shots.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, the worst in the league again. It's really shocking. To watch. And so I was thinking, coming up here today, I think, oh, well, let's have a good old laugh. Cheer up the fans. Oh, dear. Now we actually support a really bad team, like a bad, bad team. Yeah. There's no cohesion between midfield and defence or the forwards. And even if they're all running about, they don't seem to be connected in any way. That game when in the Europa League, when Smith Rowe and Maitland-Niles were combining down the wing, and
lovely.
That was a reminder of what we used to be like. You know, all this the effortless combinations and 1-2s, and that used to be what we were like. You know, and I don't even mean the Invincibles. I'm thinking of when it was Santi Cazorla, Thomas Rosicki, Cesc Fabregas, Robin van Persie,
Jack Wilshere,
Bakary Sagna, Jack Wilshere. It was, they used to just connect. Things happen quickly. They create chances.
Well, yeah. I always, there's a few things. It's fascinating. There was one point in that game on Wednesday, watching Southampton, a team full of confidence, pass the ball around, and us completely devoid of any confidence, just scared, not knowing what to do. Anyway, you know when they always talked about Arsenal having the drills?
No.
And I think in training, they would just do drills of like passing together. Did you ever hear that?
And, no. And like, go on.
But okay, a few of them always used to say, oh, those bloody drills. And they would just sort of, he would just get them to do these things, little sort of passing between each other. And that's what we, you know, so all those teams, and that sort of team late, sort of early 12s, 13s, when like we got the Norwich goal, you know, Jack Wiltshire got that. That was Arsene's drills, I feel. Yeah. So everyone knew where everyone was. I thought there was a cohesiveness about us. Even if we weren't winning or finishing games, we could still find each other. I'm surprised you haven't heard about the drills.
We're shit now, aren't we? Let's be fair. We are utter shit. I mean, I don't even want to watch the team. I was so... Because yesterday we had Boris Johnson's announcement followed by the football, right? And I just... And I thought, I don't want to look at Twitter. So I went and watched Bill win Strictly Come Dancing, right? And it was a joyous, lovely thing. I was so happy for him. The nation was happy.
That was great.
It was beautiful. Yeah. And for like an hour and a half, I didn't think about the Arsenal. But as soon as I think about them, I just think, I don't even want to watch them. I get more pleasure watching Tottenham lose than I get watching us at the moment. I get more pleasure watching anything than us. It's just... It's awful.
I actually thought these last two games without Xhaka, we were better. A little bit better.
But
you have to look for those small things. I always thought that when Xhaka's playing, we're slow and turgid. At least when
Did you watch it yesterday? You don't think that was slow and turgid?
We were better than the games with Xhaka in.
Yes, that's it's an improvement.
We're better than the games with Xhaka in.
Sorry.
And I know it's not much. I'm trying here.
But what are we going to do about it? I mean, what's the, you know, they say, no, we've got to keep the manager. We need stability at this time. I mean, do you want to have a play? Let's play a quick game of Guess the Lineup because I've got quite an interesting one.
Yeah, go on. Let's do that.
Okay, on the 21st of, I think this is the right date. Let me just check that. Of December 2019, Arsenal played away at Everton, and in the stands were Carlo Ancelotti and Mikel Arteta.
Yes.
And if you'd said to someone who didn't know, these two clubs are looking for a new manager and those two blokes up there, they're taking over. Which one's taking over which club? Everybody would have said, oh, Ancelotti will be going to Arsenal, won't he? Arteta might, you know, his first job in management, played at Everton, you know, distinguished player there for many years. They're giving him a go. But Ancelotti will be going to Arsenal and they should have got him when they got Emery. He's absolutely experienced. He's managed colossal clubs. There's one of the few people in world football who could fill Arsene Wenger's shoes. And it's apparently and obviously the right appointment for the club. And it was a huge roll of the dice to hire Mikel Arteta. But do you want to guess the Arsenal team?
Yeah. Bernd Leno in goal?
Bernd Leno was in goal.
All right.
Back four.
Hector Bellerin.
No.
What?
Ainsley Maitland-Niles.
Maitland-Niles was there.
Yes. Who were the centre-halves?
Callum Chambers.
Callum Chambers was there and he was man of the match.
Callum Chambers. It was a terrible game, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
He got injured, I think, in the next match, Chambers.
Right.
He was our best player that season up to that point. He'd been excellent.
Was it Socrates in the centre? No. We've got, so this could take a while. We've got a lot of centre-halves, haven't we?
He played yesterday.
Was it Rob Holding?
No.
Well, it was David Luiz. David Luiz.
And the left back was 18 years old, wearing the number 77 shirt.
Bukayo Saka.
Bukayo Saka.
Yeah. That's the best player at the club then. Best player at the club. Okay.
In midfield, it's been mentioned earlier in scathing terms.
Granit Xhaka,
player that I can ever remember playing for. I can never remember a player so unpopular, so kind of uniformly unpopular.
Granit Xhaka,
and there's a tiny little player next to him.
Tiny little player.
Tiny. Well, I think perhaps the smallest we've ever had.
Andre Arshavin.
Who's
the other tiny central midfield player?
He's now on loan. He's on loan in La Liga.
I can't remember. Yeah, it seems
quickly,
like 1,000 years ago.
Quickly we forget.
Oh, no. Who is it?
Uruguayan.
It's Lucas Torreira.
How quickly we forget, indeed.
Yeah. And then there are three young players playing behind a superstar striker. Do you want to have a stab?
Joe Willock.
Willock came off the bench.
Oh, okay.
Willock came off the bench.
No.
I'll tell you who they were because I can't
bear it.
Reece Nelson.
Yes. Right.
Emile Deathrow.
Right.
And Martinelli.
Wow.
I'd have all of them in the team now.
Yes, now. I like all of those players.
And who's our superstar striker? I didn't know we had a superstar striker.
Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And he was substituted by Lacazette. And on the bench, Guendouzi, Mavropanos, Martinez, Pepe and Mustafi. But the Everton team is not dissimilar from the team they had yesterday. Obviously, their fullbacks are injured. Digne and Sidibe are injured. So they're different fullbacks. But Davis was in the team. Sigurdsson was in the team. Iwobi was in the team. Richarlison, Calvert-Lewin, Mina, Holgate, Pickford. Quite a lot of the same players.
Yeah.
One or two additions. Doucouré, notably, they signed a very good signing. It was apparent that was a good signing from Watford.
We could see him then. But they were missing Allen. They were missing Allen yesterday. And they were missing James Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And they didn't even play that well. I don't think.
They didn't play particularly well. They were organised and they were able to go up our end and score twice and then keep it tight and win. Sort of, really, it was a classic 2-0. I mean, the fact that they conceded an odd penalty where Davis kicked Maitland-Niles, he didn't know he was there, did he? And it was a sort of an accident. But that gave us a pen. But other than that, it was a pretty roped, straightforward 2-0 home win.
Can I ask a question? You know when you were playing kids football, when you're like 12, 13, 14, and the tallest person marks their tallest person, right? I mean, that's what you do, isn't it? Or is something has changed? Because I've seen Elneny on big centre halves, and I've seen Pepe yesterday. Mark Yerry Mina's massive.
He is massive. Not... And the thing about that is, Pepe lost him completely. Couldn't mark him. But when he turns up at the near post, there's a centre half there thinking here he comes. But, I mean, it was a great delivery, wasn't it? And he just got a powerful head on it. And it's the second near post corner we've conceded from. We've been all right at that. But the point is about this sort of similarity of these 11s is that at the time we were top half, we dropped away a little bit to about seventh or something. And Emery lost his job. Jungberg didn't have a lot, couldn't really get anything going in the four games that he had. Everton were bottom half. And the two teams have just swapped round. Everton are now in the top four with largely the same team.
Do you think we're
in the bottom six. And, you know, the catastrophe of not getting Carlo Ancelotti when you had the chance.
Was he ever in the frame, though, for us? Or was it always Arteta? Because I don't remember anyone talking about Carlo Ancelotti being our next manager.
I just couldn't understand why we did, you know, it was... Listen, we all got behind Arteta because we wanted that to work. And who knows? But the idea that you give a club like this, a massive club like this, to someone who's never managed and then try and let them learn on the job instead of saying, well, look, we've got this legend of world football who's retired. This is a huge undertaking now. We need someone who's qualified for the position. What clubs have you managed? AC Milan. Have you? Oh, how did you get on? European Cup. Did you? And what else? Real Madrid. Have you? Was he Bayern Munich as well, wasn't he, for a while?
I'm not sure. He's managed a lot of big clubs and he knows what he's doing.
Have you managed in England before? Yeah, I managed Chelsea. How did you get on? We won the double. Did you? Yeah. You are qualified, aren't you? Maybe very qualified.
Overqualified?
Oh, my God.
Well, there is that, Damien.
Everton couldn't believe that they got him.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe they'd got him, you know.
Well, Carragher did say yesterday in the commentary, this is the first time he's watched Arsenal-Everton where he thought, Everton have got the better players. They're a better team and they got the better players and I think they're going to win. Most of the time, we have been better than them in the past 25 years.
Well, today, checked Brighton's result today.
Oh, yeah, because we would have gone 17th, wouldn't we?
Because I was worried about them overtaking us.
Well.
Oh my God.
Looking at the upcoming fixtures, by the way. We got Chelsea, which I expect to get nothing from. Then we got Brighton, who, by the way, have beaten us twice in the last two games they played. And then West Brom, managed by Big Sam. I mean... It could get worse, by the way. It could get quite a lot worse. And at what point do we go, we can't get relegated, otherwise, you know. Do you imagine that any of our players have got clauses in their contract saying if you get relegated, you're on half wages? Because I don't think we would have negotiated that. I don't think our people know what they're doing. But, I mean, this is for the future of the club. I think it's the most important transfer window we've ever had. In all the time I've been watching, I'm genuinely...
What possessed them to put Partey back in before he was fit?
Desperation. It's all desperation, mate. They're all desperate. They've won, what? They've lost 6 games out of 8. They've scored 2 goals. I mean, they're desperate. They're all making mad decisions all the way through the club. And that's one of them, Partey. It's bonkers,
I think Willian was a similar thinking... behind it, you know, what it was like, let's get a ready-made player who can bring the kids through. And that has backfired quite spectacularly. Shocking.
Funnily enough, he had a fairly good game at Everton. He moved into the middle of the pitch in the second half. Yeah, but by that time, we're already losing the game and Everton are sitting back and hitting us on the break. And
Alexander said to me, has Willian got photos of Arteta?
Yeah.
Has he got photos of him? Because there's no other reason why he's still in the team. I mean, all that stuff that Arteta said about non-negotiables. Well, what about if they're playing shit? What about if they're contributing actually nothing to the team? What about, is that negotiable then, is it?
The just jogging around frustrated me.
And did you stop the cross for the first one? Did not stop the cross.
No, it was just sort of like amble over, amble back, amble, you know.
The amount of times I worked with Lee Dixon, stop the cross is the first. That's what our fullbacks used to do. That's what players were told to do, you know. Because all right, it's bad luck to have an own goal off of holding, but if the cross doesn't come in, and Willian was there, all he had to do was just, and he couldn't be asked. Yeah. I don't know what we should do. I don't want to sack. I don't want to sack. I don't really want to sack the manager, but. He looks out of his depth. I mean, he really does look out of his depth. And if we keep losing, we are going to be in the bottom three after Christmas. And I don't think these players look like they're up for a relegation fight. Do you?
No, they don't
look. Granit Xhaka up for a relegation fight. Willian, Aubameyang, none of them.
They're not up for it. They're not up for any sort of a fight.
It turns out. And everyone thinks we're a soft touch. Everyone will turn up going, we can beat these. Even more than we have been for the last 10 years. By the way,
we're very, very lightweight in centre mid, aren't we? Even though Elneny and Ceballos put a lot of effort in and they run about and they try hard. But, you know, the Jeffrey Kondogbia factor keeps coming to mind, which is just somebody in midfield who can win the ball back. Win the ball back and get the ball for your team. Yeah. I mean,
we had that with Lucas Torreira. Lucas Torreira and Matteo Guendouzi in midfield would do a better job than those two. But they're on the naughty step one. They've gone on loan. And by the way, I don't really want to go here, but having Mesut Ozil sitting at home on Twitter, doing broken-hearted tweets while we... I know,
and hello to all listeners from other clubs. I can only say, I'm sorry that we're not being very funny, but... at least you can laugh at our team. You can laugh and laugh and laugh at the painful, slow decline of a once magnificent team. And it's beginning to feel like someone better get down there with a documentary crew, because we have got Sunderland Till I Die written all over us at the moment. And when we're in League One the season after next, going, how did it come to this? Well, you were here first. And we are sliding towards the bottom three. There's no doubt about that.
Have you ever been as down? I've never been as down about my club as this.
I've never seen the teams that have beaten us are the teams that we beat every season.
Yeah.
Like, we might go to Goodison once every 10 games and lose by the odd goal. So, you know, I can remember a game once when it poured with rain and there was a bit, there was a couple of heavy tackles and the Goodison crowd were pumped and we let one in and couldn't get one and we lost 1-0. And it felt like a major, a huge win for them. You know, Goodison was rocking and we would.
Yeah.
But now Southampton outplay us. But this is not just happening. Like we said last week, Southampton outplayed us at the Emirates last season. Completely outplayed us. And we got a very lucky late equaliser from Lacazette, who actually, I remember it, looked embarrassed to be stealing a point for us. Brighton and Hove Albion outplayed us at the Emirates last
Burnley.
Season and
Burnley
won the game.
Last week.
And we got outplayed by Southampton, outplayed by Leeds, outplayed by Villa, outplayed by Everton. We're not just losing games. We are not at the races. We're not competing at all. At Tottenham, just it was embarrassing that we got caught like that twice on the break and then they just sat on the 18-yard line for about 45 minutes. We really are poor. Really, really, really seriously poor. And I feel like the manager's getting nothing from the players. They're not motivated, they're not hungry, they're not confident, they're not connected to one another. And the silent stadiums that they're playing in, I just think they're dreading Saturday. Saturday comes.
We're dreading it, aren't we? Let's be fair. I mean, we're dreading it. I don't look forward to it, do you? I don't.
Chelsea on Boxing Day.
Chelsea.
Yeah. The lineup of stars that they've signed.
How many is Giroud going to get, by the way? Because let's be fair, we have never stopped crossing the ball since we sold him. Never. We sold him and then we went, let's sling some crosses in.
But maybe what will happen is this is the one tactic that Arteta seems to have to pull off is a low block and steal them on a break. And this, you know, maybe we'll beat Man City and Chelsea doing that. Because we like to not have the ball is one of those coaches. And people are saying, what about, should we get Rafa Benitez? Let's get Rafa Benitez. Get Rafa Benitez in quick. Because that guy, there's nothing he doesn't know about football. He's an excellent man manager. He'll get us sorted out. But he'll play exactly the same way as Emery and Arteta play. It's all about controlling the game out of possession, counter-attacking football, and let them have the ball and all of that. But it's not a bad shout because when you look around at who's available, I don't think we can tempt Pochettino. I don't think we can tempt Allegri. No. The only other name that comes to mind is Howe from Bournemouth, who always looked like a potential candidate because Bournemouth always played progressive, short-passing, attacking football for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they had a brand of football that was similar to Arsenal's. And I like him. Personally, I like him. He always comes across well in interviews, hugely experienced, thoughtful, intelligent, never coats his players, never moans about the ref. He's kind of respectful. I like him a lot. So he would definitely be on the short list for me. None of the ex-Arsenal players who tried management have covered themselves in glory, be it Henri or Sol Campbell. Patrick Vieira is available. He did an okay job at Nice. So now you've got a little short list emerging of how and Vieira and Benitez and you could put Allegri and Pochettino and just ring their agent and say, is it even worth the call? And that's your shortlist. There's your five names. Any others? Because they better have a shortlist because if we lose the next three, if we find ourselves in the bottom three, you cannot slide into the championship. You're Arsenal. It's unthinkable, but it's heading that way. Someone needs to come in. And you know, all this, we can't sack another manager. We can't do that. We've appointed the wrong bloke by the look of it. Yeah. I've got everything crossed that we beat Man City and go to the League Cup semi-final, give them a lift. If we beat Chelsea on Boxing Day, confidence can come back, you know.
And he has won, you know, it was only 4 months ago he won the FA Cup.
Same
players. And I've got to say, Gabriel and Partey, when he comes in, are upgrades.
And so is Martinelli.
I cannot wait. But this is the point, isn't it? The best player in our team is 19 and we're waiting for another, what's he, 18, 19, Martinelli?
I get philosophical and zen about the whole affair, I do wonder whether we need to, because we've been saying this for 6-7 years. We need it to be terrible. Maybe this is what our club needs so that in 2 years' time, we're back in the... I can see your query.
2 years' time.
What are you talking about?
Two years. Because
we're siding so far away from where we need to be. There is no way back.
There are good bits in there, as you said. There are certain players. There are Partey. Gabriel is good. You know, Tierney's good. There's good players. But there's so much stinking the place out. I think, you know, there's so many people that need to go, and I don't think we're going to get relegated, but I think maybe it needs to get really bad before things can get better.
For Arsenal to go down, it would have to be something like this. It would have to be...
I don't think we're going to go down.
Post-Wenger, the legendary manager who now, all those people for years who were coating him off, who wanted him out. We said it so many times.
I was one of them.
Be careful what you wish for, because this guy is performing absolute miracles on a shoestring. He was breaking even on transfers and finishing top four. But so now in that post-Wenger era, if you tried to get the next appointment right, and it was an okay appointment, Emery, and we finished in the top six and we got to Europa League final. Some of the transfers that came in weren't so good, but then they decided to get rid. Now there's Arteta, and now we're playing in empty stadiums because of a pandemic. And suddenly it seems to have weakened us, especially at home. There's no connection between the fans to try and drive them towards a bit more effort in home games to not get humiliated. In this perfect storm of odd circumstances, Mesut Ozil situation and all of these things, this is when Arsenal, it could happen. This is when you could look at the end of the season and go, what a season that was. What happened there?
Yeah.
You know, Southampton and Leicester are in the top four.
Yeah. if it happens, Damien, I don't think there's any coming back from it. That's my feeling about it. I did go off on one later on after my come down from Strictly Come Dancing. I remembered that we binged it again. Off I went.
Never thought I'd hear you say that.
It's a mate winning it. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
But I said, if we go down, there's no coming back. And my son, who is 18, was having to comfort me. And that's not the way it should work. It's the wrong way around. You know, I shouldn't be an emotional wreck. And him going, Dad, honestly, we'll be fine.
No, but in terms of what I would like him to do, I would, if he turned around and said, right, we are playing the kids. As of, you know, we've been let down by quite a lot of people. I mean, Aubameyang, who I don't think means it. I think he's just having a terrible time of it.
His body language ain't great, though, is it?
No, it's not, because he's panicking. He's, like, not making the right decisions. All of these. If Arteta turned around and said, right, I'm just going to play the kids, what would you say?
But how does it work at the training ground, then? This is what I can't picture. Because Mesut Ozil was going in every day and training.
And
I can't remember, I think it was Mustafi or Leno or one of our German players was asked, what's it like? And they said, oh, no, he's fine. He's training every day. He's training well. He's got a good attitude. He gets on with everyone. I cannot fathom it. Socrates, big character. The big Greek centre half, loud. He's a big character. He's there every day training.
Yeah,
we're losing every week.
What's happening with is it with Mesut Ozil? Is it the Uyghur Muslims thing? Is that what's going on and upsetting the Chinese market?
He played every week until March the 7th when football stopped. Then they come back in June and he won't pick him.
Yeah.
And then no one will explain it.
Well, I don't know what it is. There's something.
No one will explain it. He made a public comment about the Muslims in China, and then the Chinese flipped, and then people have speculated that it's something to do with that. But I can't. They're saying Arteta's saying it's not a personal thing, but it's just so inexplicable.
Yeah,
that this the best player at the club or the highest wages at the club is left out of a 25-man squad and is in there training every week. So then if you're trying to shift the team around, you're looking around the training ground, who shall I pick? What's he doing? Keepy up, he's in the corner doing headers and volleys with Socrates. talking in German to Mustafi about what a shit show it is and we'd be better off out of here, but the money's good.
Yeah.
Lining up a huge lucrative deal to DC United or whoever it'll be when he's
his clothing line or whatever.
And
he's
does
doing.
Someone, if Rafa Benitez comes in January, does he go to Mesut Ozil and say, "Are you up for this? Because we're in the shit. Yeah. You're the best player. Why haven't you been in the squad? What's gone on here?"
It's all very strange. It is all very strange and dysfunctional, and you know everything top to bottom. Yeah, I agree.
I think Reece Nelson is a player who gives so much in every game.
Yeah.
He's 100% committed, really cares, and can't get a look in. Why can't he get a look in? I don't understand.
And Willian is on the pitch.
I just don't understand.
Willian is on the pitch. I know, and I'm starting to agree with you about Pepe as well, by the way. I was watching him the other day. I mean, if he steps inside one more time, I just think...
How often does he lose the ball?
He just loses
the ball all the time.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when he loses the ball, he doesn't look surprised or bothered. He thinks being me is I lose the ball. But I was watching Leicester today. I was watching Albrighton and Vardy and Maddison.
How hard they were.
Well, they're such good players.
Yeah.
They're such good footballers. They don't lose the ball. Vardy's movement is unbelievably good. His relationship with the goal that they got, the second goal, which was a bit lucky in the finish.
That jump.
But the pass, the way he moved to the back post and Albrighton dropped it into him like that, it was a superb bit of play. Maddison's been brilliant. Tielemans looks good. You're looking at these are players recruited in recent years. They're absolutely outplaying us in the transfer market, Leicester. And now, you know, it was unthinkable to us when Wenger left that we'd hire Brendan Rodgers. I think we did a podcast titled Anyone But Brendan.
I would just like to state I was not on that one.
I was quite vociferous as well, not having him. But now, I mean, you talked about
our foolish pride.
Who were you talking about as manager? Pochettino and Allegri. Would if you were them, you wouldn't take the job, would you? Even if forgetting the Tottenham connection with Pochettino, why would you take the job? Looking at the squad that we've got, I'm thinking this is a 4 or 5 year rebuild to get back to where we want to be. It ain't just about Granit Xhaka.
It might be a 4 or 5 year rebuild, but if you're a really good manager, it might be a 4 or 5 months of getting the best out of these people. A couple of transfer windows, because it's only 5 minutes ago we were a top six side.
Yeah,
I don't think there is a huge amount of talent kicking around the club.
Well, exactly.
You know, and someone's got to clear out the deadwood. They couldn't shift anyone in the summer, could they?
No.
They ended up selling the goalkeeper, who was outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, They got good money for him. And I do like Leno as well. I don't think there's a lot in it. I'd have kept Martinez, personally, but you know what? That was a decision that I could actually go, okay, Leno hasn't really let us down too much, but...
We're looking really lightweight in central midfield, so we loan out Guendouzi and Torreira.
Well, Guendouzi's been naughty, hasn't he? He spoke out of turn or something, and...
It seems like it. Frozen out. And does Mikel think, this is how you're a manager, you have to be a tough guy? And teach the others, you know, if you cross me, no one crosses me, I may destroy you.
Well, they're not listening, are they?
They just think it's, you're an arse, mate.
Yeah.
We like Matteo, he's good.
Yeah, I remember him against Spurs when we beat him at home and he was the best player on the pitch. I thought he's 21 years old.
Bags of potential and he's got a bit of an attitude problem and so manage him.
Yeah.
You've got to manage him, get the best out of him, teach him. He's immature. He's young.
What do you think we should do, Al?
I think we should bring in a new manager.
Yeah.
And I think I've given you a short list of five, and I can't think of any others. I think it should be someone who's managed in the Premier League before, and I think it should be someone who speaks fluent English, and I think it should be someone, if you look at his track record, it's impressive.
Well, it's Rafa, isn't it, is the one then, isn't it? I mean, considering that Allegri and Poch, well, I don't think they'll take it, Rafa's the one. I mean, I like Eddie Howe. I do like Eddie Howe as well. He definitely speaks lovely English.
I do think the only question mark about for me is I prefer Howe's brand of football. I like the way they played Bournemouth, and I
you know, that's the thing. But I couldn't agree. I know quite a lot of people, as you know, Kate is from the Northeast and her brothers are Newcastle fans. And I know quite a lot of people up in the Northeast who will speak so highly of Benitez.
Yeah.
They really, you know, when he was talking about leaving, that was the point where I thought someone's going to murder Mike Ashley. He's just going to be found face down in the Tyne because they were so angry about it.
Yeah.
If we've got this guy, this manager, we've got him. Go lose him.
Yeah. And he's free at the moment, isn't he?
And
he's
actually, they did very well because Steve Bruce is an excellent manager. And so they're not in the bottom three where they sometimes end up. Massive, massive club, and they end up going down. It happens every few years, doesn't it? But I don't. Well, I tell how I feel about it. I feel like this isn't working at all.
Well, it doesn't appear to be, does it? I mean, right now, I would have every other manager in the Premier League, bar Big Sam, and I'd even consider him over what the shit we've got at the moment.
Get a restart. At least we put the ball in the box.
We would.
Have you tried turning it on and off again? It is basically what we've got to do, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It ain't working, though. It ain't working. And it's going to get... And Damon, I think you're going to get your wish. I think it's going to get worse. And that's
no,
my
I don't want it to get worse.
I'm not saying
I'm
not
but
your
wish. There's I keep going back to who's in the Fiesta. And...
What? Minibus, mate.
No, but
who, there's so many of them.
Lacazette really annoyed me in one of the games, and he does that thing of he hides in plain sight. He's Theo used to do it as well. He would hide, and then if you didn't pass the ball to him, he'd go, "Oh, come on," and sort of lots of gesticulating and things
I'd
like that.
I'd bin him off.
I would bin him immediately. We should have got 40 grand for him. Yes, you know that.
I watched Ollie Watkins for Villa the other day, right? Ollie, I mean, this is a young kid who's come from Brentford and looks like a Premier League striker, looks better than Lacazette. I'd have almost anyone but Lacazette at the moment. It doesn't do it for me. Eddie didn't have a good game yesterday, but he's a young guy. And it's very, very difficult playing up front when there is absolutely no service whatsoever.
He had one chance, didn't he? And Nketiah, set him up.
And he should have hit the target.
But somebody needed to give him a shout to take a touch.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He needed a shout there. He just needed take a touch, and then he could have steadied himself because he took it first time.
Long way out, and for where it was,
and he missed it. But I mean, really, that's if you're creating one chance for your striker in a game.
Yeah, it's tough. That's tough on him. I'm not going to have a go, and I love how keen he is.
He's going to be a terrific striker. Nketiah, there's no doubt about that, and I hope it's for Arsenal.
But Lacazette, I agree. I completely agree. We all agree about Xhaka.
I thought Ceballos yesterday was really strange. He played very strange game. I thought we played much better when...
What way?
He was just not doing what he's
that
good
way,
at.
Daddy, that way.
Is this not the X-Files or the...
he was over...
What's happening?
He was way over in the left. And then he's
a bit of a headless chicken, Danny Ceballos, isn't he? Goes here, there and everywhere. He wants to get on the ball. He's desperate for the ball and wants to play. But the fact is that they had in Doucouré and Davis, they just had two disciplined... strong central midfielders who knew what their job was. And as I don't know, no one knows what their job is. It's really a shambles. It's a bloody shambles.
It is
at the moment. We want Mikel Arteta to succeed, and we want them to win a couple of games and turn it around. And we've wanted that for six games, seven games, eight games, nine games.
Yeah, but Al, if we have another two or three which get really bad and we're in January, are the board going to trust him? They have to spend some money in January. They really, really do. They've got to get someone with creativity in midfield. Otherwise, we'll never score again, as far as I can see. So, and are they going to trust Mikel Arteta with another 50 million quid? That is the question. I reckon the board are desperate for him to win a couple of games because otherwise they're going to have to make a decision.
They're going to have to make a decision, and they're heavily invested in him, aren't they? They wanted to sign that guy, Shobolosko. I don't know how you say his name.
And what's happening with him?
Well, it sounds like this Red Bull connection that goes Salzburg Leipzig has come.
He went to Leipzig. They did a video,
and he's a terrific looking player of that sort. Wonderful touch and passing and attacking number 10.
Right.
And then the other one was the lad from Uwaruare from.
We got a song ready for him and everything.
Leon, thing is, what's the philosophy? How do you want to play football? Stop worrying about the opposition. I remember years ago, I used to talk about what a great coach Dave Sexton was. Do you remember that? Dave Sexton's Dave a great Sexton. Coach. QBR. Dave Sexton, what he does is he breaks the team down into threes and fours, combinations around the pitch. So the right centre-half will practice with the right back and the right midfielder. And they'll get used to one another. And then, you know, and then they all the talk about Don Howe, similar thing. Get the combinations right. People know where each other, they trust one another. They, you know, a sort of a theory, an idea of how to prepare a football team to go out on the pitch. It's not to do with giving a shit about who the other team are.
Yeah.
You ought to be able to adapt, if you're an intelligent professional player, you ought to be able to adapt to the other team when you see them. I remember years ago when Graham Taylor was the England manager, I think we had to play Norway or someone, and they had a massive player who played left wing. And his solution was to pick, I think it was Gary Pallister at fullback, because that lad wins a lot of balls in the air. I'm going to put Palo out there to shut off that. And so as soon as the Norwegians saw it, they shifted their tall bloke to the other wing.
Genius.
Put someone really speedy up against Pallister.
Oh, my God. You know,
and then the plan was thrown awry. They couldn't... Oh, no, and we lost the game. I mean, you've got to be able to sort things out on the pitch as they're happening. You don't need to think about the opposition.
And yet, Al, 4 months ago, we played tactically brilliantly to beat Liverpool, all right, a bit luckily, Man City in the semi-final and Chelsea in the final, deservedly so, with this manager and these players.
Okay, this is one thing. He keeps saying in his defence, it's fine margins. We are also, as well as being a bit shit, we're not getting much luck.
I'm not having that.
No, come on, hear me out, actually. What no, luck? You never hear me out, all right.
All right, go on then, Damien. No. Go on. The floor is yours, mate.
No, don't want it.
We've been recording now for 50 minutes. So by all means, tell us that we've been very unlucky to be dog shit awful for weeks. And that, by the way, is the title of the podcast.
Okay. Dog shit awful. My work here is done.
It took us 15 minutes.
Sir, I brought some homework in.
Go on, what's your homework?
Well, you said, sort of bring a topic. So I found the programme for the first ever Arsenal game I went to.
Okay.
Right.
This is my show and tell. It was Newcastle United, 15th of April. The 77-78 season. And we had just got into the FA Cup final by beating Villa.
Was it Orient?
Oh, no.
Orient. Someone?
It was Orient. There you go.
Yeah.
And that's my homework. So that's my show and tell.
Well done. The programme from the 78 season.
What did Ian bring in, sir?
I brought Bill Bailey to the table, all right? That was my contribution. Because it didn't have to be football, did it? Let's be fair.
No. I'm setting up Spot the Commentary.
In 25 years' time, if we do Spot the Commentary from this season, it'll be just midfield passes.
That was a lucky penalty against...
Yeah, that.
OK, here we go. You ready for this one?
Yep.
Smith, always aware of the positioning of other players, and in this game, all the Arsenal team aware of what Limpar can do. He really is in an impish move! It's the same story. Limpar to right, goal for Arsenal. Four of them now.
I'm saying, can I have a guess? Is this Southampton away?
No.
Is this Norwich at home where we stumbled?
No.
Is this the goal, by the way? I just want to get it right. Is this the goal where Wrighty did a sort of volley with his right foot into the
top
right?
No, it's not.
Corner?
It's a game where Anders Limpar provided four assists for Ian Wright. And it's a beautiful watch, actually, because it reminds you what an incredible finisher Ian Wright was.
Amazing.
Like, if the ball went to him in the penalty area, it was a goal. And he scored every sort of goal. And the incredible bravery of Ian Wright. That he would dive into gaps, desperate to score with his spindly little legs, always about a foot shorter than the bloke near him, who was always trying to elbow him. And it was a game from the 91-92 season. I'll give a point if you can get the opposition, or is it just totally gone?
Swindon?
No.
Was it? Well, it wasn't Liverpool.
I can't remember.
It?
No, it was Everton.
Ah!
Oh, it was Everton.
Got four against Everton.
He got four. And
he could have used one yesterday.
But the thing is, there's a system. You could see there's a team. You know what they're all doing. They all know what they're doing. They all know their positions. They all know what they're up to.
Managed by Jules, though, weren't they? Let's be fair.
Managed by George, incredibly organised, champions the previous season.
Yeah. I mean, this is
George knew what he wanted to do.
He
knew what he wanted to do. Yeah. He wanted, basically, it was the same as the 1971 team that he'd been part of. It was a 4-4-2, a big number nine. He knew what he wanted to do, and he wanted to compete. He wanted to get, there was plenty of route one. He wanted an organised defence. He didn't want any stupid goals given away. He bought the best goalkeeper in the world. He knew what he wanted to do. Arsene knew what he wanted to do. He knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to get the ball on the floor, and he wanted people to express themselves and be creative and forget the opposition and go for it and compete hard and not be afraid. And the real courage, as we hear so often in football, is about wanting to be on the ball. Now, I don't really know what we want to do, but anyway, here's another one.
Rosicki, Sanya, some options here. Giroud! He picked the right option. Giroud picks out the back of the net.
Well, I'm figuring it was a near post little flick over the goalkeeper.
It was a near post first time finish from Olivier Giroud.
It's not in the FA Cup final, was it?
FA Cup is right, final.
It's at the Emirates, though, isn't it?
At the Emirates. Game.
Is it against Everton?
Against Everton! Hey! Oh, Damien's got the goal there, although there's a definite assist from Stone.
I've spotted the theme.
Oh, right, OK. Yeah. Now, hang on a minute. So, Rosicki, Sanya, so this would have been, what?
It was March the 9th, 2014.
14.
And it was the FA Cup sixth round.
Against Everton, beaten Liverpool in the game before when we spanked them, actually.
That was the year that we won the cup. We had all home draws. We beat Spurs in the London, third round. Yeah.
Without leaving London. In fact, without leaving North London, in fact.
We beat Liverpool, who were on the way to blowing the league.
Yeah.
Luis Suarez possibly should have had a pen, but he dived for one earlier and the ref didn't like him.
That was a good win there. Wow. I enjoyed that win a lot, that fifth round. And then
we had a magnificent team. We had, Santi Cazorla and Mesut was around. Giroud, now we look back and think, goodness me, he wasn't bad, was he? We used to mock him and ridicule him for all the things he couldn't do.
Yeah.
But it was a good finisher, first-time finisher.
Rambo was in that.
Ramsey, Bakary, Sanya.
Sanya. Who's terrific. In goal for us? Was it?
It was Fabianski. He played all the rounds, didn't he? And then he played in the final as well.
Oh, well, that was the classic. Where are you going? That was one of your classic. Where are you going, Fabianski? moments when remember when we were winning 3-2 in the final,
and he came
running out the goal, and you're next to me, and I just feel the tension. And, oh no, because we can both see it. He's not getting there. He's not getting there.
Someone got back, didn't they?
No, he hit it, and the ball was curling away from the goal, and they kicked it away, but it was close. It was close. That's a good one. I remember that. That was a happy day. That.
Yeah. Well, we beat Everton on that day 4-1, and Everton had a pretty decent team as well. And now there's one more for you. Here we go. Let's have this one.
Henri. And a little party piece from the master. There you go.
Right, we had 7-1 at home at Highbury. We had just lost the league against Everton. We had just lost the league.
Damien Harris.
Nice, Damien.
A solid finish there.
Whoa. Yeah.
Smashed it in. It was actually 7-0, but 7-0, yes, that was the seventh goal. Scored by Flamini, who is, I'm looking at the picture here, celebrating with a very youthful Cesc Fabregas. It was the beginning of the changing of the guard. But yes, we'd lost the league. We were runners up that year to the Roman Abramovich select 11.
So 2005.
Yeah.
Yes.
The late, great Jose Antonio Reyes with the assist. It was in that game also that Edu was given the chance to take a pen. Richard Wright, our former keeper, was in goal for Everton and he got a hand to it, but it crept in. So they gave Edu a goal on his farewell.
Yeah.
So I nearly gave you that one because Edu's in my mind quite a lot at the moment. There was a little flash of him looking really, really hacked off in the Southampton game, which they kept showing of him looking frustrated.
Yeah.
And I remember his performance at Old Trafford in 2002 and that...
What a team.
He was elegant and a great passer.
Lovely, tough team.
As well, you know. He was robust and it helps being 6'3", I suppose.
That's the toughest team we had, that team. That game at Old Trafford, we went there and we just out-muscled them, we outplayed them, we were just
strong. Were extremely physical, four booked in the first half.
And we weren't having it.
Parler and Vieira and Edu.
Yeah, Lundberg. There was no one in that team I wouldn't trust. No one at all.
Yeah, as Henry opposed didn't to play yesterday's. And Kanu played with and Sylvain Wiltord.
That's right,
Wiltord.
That was good. Yeah,
and it's high.
And Sol Campbell. It's like an absolute brick wall at the back.
Yeah,
he was the only defender who could get the better of Wrighty. He made it so hard for Wrighty to score against Tottenham. He made it his business because despite his size, Wrighty normally was too nimble and quick and fleet of foot and he could get into gaps and he'd get there quicker.
But
Campbell, despite his size, was so quick.
Sol was quick, yeah. Yeah, he could recover, couldn't he?
He really could. He was so quick across the ground. His speed was astonishing, really. Not just, you know, over a couple of yards and he'd shut you down. He'd stop you scoring.
Yeah. Sorry to stop this lovely reminiscing.
Yes.
What did we think about Rob Holding as the captain?
Well, it's just, again, it feels like another, what should we do? I don't know. Change the captain. I don't know what to do. What should I do? Who should I pick? So let's do three at the back. Well, what about who should I pick? Well, they don't know what to do.
Rearranging the deck chairs
really,
on the Titanic.
I just don't know what to do. Rob Holding, he seems to have a lot of faith in Rob Holding.
I like Rob.
And
I like him.
We all love Rob Holding, you know. Ever since that 2017 final when he had it with Diego Costa.
Yeah. It's one of the most magnificent things I've seen.
You know, in front of 90,000 at Wembley and a young guy.
Yeah.
And just toe-to-toe with the top striker in the league playing for the champions.
And just being
just not
being,
bothered.
Yeah, but, you know, next to a guy who's played 33 minutes of football the entire season, but who's just directed him over here, Rob, over there, and it's beautiful. And no, that was great. Of course it was, yeah.
I don't have any problem with him being captain, but I don't know what...
Yeah.
Is he the leader in the dressing room? Does that mean? Is he the one who does the team talks and does a whip round for the coach driver? Or what does it involve?
A whip round for the coach driver. Do you think they do it by card now? The coach driver has a card machine.
Yeah.
They just all tap their American Express gold card. £5,000. Go on, son.
Someone did send me a tweet and I can't find it now. So apologies for this person for not naming you, but they just said, which of them do you think Tony Adams would have up against the wall first?
Yeah.
in the dressing room.
Oh, Willian.
Which one do you think he'd get? Like, this ain't good enough, my friend.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
You know, this is not. We are Arsenal, right? So there's no. We should be hard as nails, horrible to play against, difficult. Oh, it's always a nightmare when they come and they've got good players too. You can't give them any room, they'll score. It's Arsenal, it's always a nightmare. Listen, if we get anything out of this, we've done well. It's so gone now.
It's not like that.
People are rubbing their hands together.
I can't wait.
I can't wait to play.
The Gunners are coming to town. Yeah, I know.
No. We had a request from Keith that Andrew Doughty should do some anagrams. And Andrew has provided many good anagrams for us, and he's come back with three for Teddy Sheringham. Shithead gym nerd, which is absolutely perfect.
This is
brilliant.
A real talent, isn't it? I mean, I have to say.
It's a gift. Dead is. Hyman's girth, which, I don't know,
a bit icky.
Really frightening.
Oh, my God, I can't get that one out of my... You can't unhear that, can you?
And the last one is deranged wish harm.
How does he do this?
But shithead gym nerd is really
brilliant.
I think
shithead gym nerd, yeah.
I don't even want to say the other one.
Oh, it's Luke Davis who said, who do you think Adams will pin against the wall first in the dressing room?
Wow.
Thank you for that, Luke.
Yeah. They'd have to line them up, wouldn't they?
Someone sent me an email. Peter sent me an email about seeing Cesc Fabregas in a bar in Camden, in the World's End in Camden, and thinking it was just someone who looked like him.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a Fabregas shirt, and someone came over and said, oh, Cesc Fabregas is over there. And he says, if you like, he'll sign your shirt and do a picture, because he's seen you've got his shirt on. And they looked over and thought, yeah, whatever. He just thinks he's Cesc Fabregas because he looks like him. And they went over. He sort of admits, Peter, that they were pretty rude. As a laugh, my brother went over there and had a pic taken with a lookalike, but declined the shirt signing. We laughed at how much he looked like Cesc and how much fanny he must be getting on the back of it.
Oh, Lord.
Nice.
Well, that went in a direction I wasn't expecting, I'll be honest with you.
That's what they were thinking, right? Someone came over with a Spanish accent and said, hey, he does not normally do this. He likes to stay discreet, but Cesc is over there, and you noticed his name on your shirt, so he wanted to see if you want a picture or your shirt signed. But don't make a scene, please.
Wow.
Don't make a scene.
Anyway, the next day, we looked at the picture on my brother's phone to see how much he looked like Cesc. Now we are sober. He really did look a lot like Cesc. He noticed there was a woman beside him and decided to Google Cesc Fabregas' girlfriend. Oh. Well, F me. It was indeed her.
Yeah.
So it must have really been Cesc. And to this day, we feel like dicks for ridiculing him as a lookalike. I'm missing the shirt signing opportunity. I'm sorry, but that is so North London. That just sums up North Londoners. Cocky, stupid idiots.
Yes.
On the piss.
There's a lot on this, isn't it? There's a lot in this story, I have to say.
But a lovely story. Thank you, Peter, from Hackney, for that email.
Player manager, Cesc Fabregas.
Well, would you get him back from Monaco if he'd come?
Yes. Yes.
Is he managing? Sorry, is he?
I don't know.
He's not managing, is he?
Let's make him.
Yeah, but do you think another inexperienced manager is the way to go at this point?
We need a proper manager. We need an actual real one.
I mean, we need a proper one.
Dennis. We've done it before.
Get Sam Allardyce then.
No, stop it.
We've missed Sam. He's one of the other managers that we've missed.
Pulis, you know, will be sacked soon.
Carlo Ancelotti, and we've missed, and we missed Brendan Rodgers, and we missed all these people. Tabriq Alibi. Hello, gentlemen. He lives in Karachi in Pakistan, and he's listened to the podcast, and he said, last week we did spot the commentary for Arsenal-Aston Villa Cup quarterfinal 1983. That was my first ever game. Vivid memories of my first Arsenal match came flooding back. I was at boarding school in East Grinstead. My family was living in Brussels. And my parents told me to find a friend to go and stay with because they didn't want to pay the airline ticket back to Brussels. So he's going to a posh boarding school in East Grinstead, and Harry Carr, who's his friend, said he'd put him up. Anyway, Harry Carr, it turned out, was the son of Clive Carr, who was one of the Arsenal directors. So the next thing you know, he's in the director's box, and... he becomes an absolute Arsenal fan. He sent a picture of him. Clive got him the mascot job.
Oh.
He's got a picture of him as a mascot against Stoke City. in 1984 when the two captains were Graham Ricks for Arsenal and Sammy McElroy. He was a great player, wasn't he? Sammy McElroy.
Yes, he was.
I forgot he ever played for Stoke, but there we are. So it's a really nice picture. So thank you to Breit for that email. He's moved back to Pakistan in 2004 and he only attends the odd match. I agree wholeheartedly that the Emirates does not come close to matching the experience of match days at Highbury. It almost makes me want to weep. It's such wonderful memories of Highbury. But that's a sort of email I like. Now, someone's come in with... Daniel Diggins has come in and he says he started to watch a bit. He's been watching a bit of NFL and he's saying that what he's hoping and what we're all hoping is what's happening at Arsenal is a repeat of what happened at the LA Rams, of course, owned by the Cronkers. They brought in a young coach with loads of new ideas and he's been in charge for 3 years and they ended up last year in the Super Bowl and he's turned them around and made them something.
Yeah.
Was there an 8-game run of utter dog shit at some point in his first year?
He was a cheaper option short term,
yeah.
But the club grew and achieved what they hadn't for a long time. He says, worth a thought, not that anything will change. Merry Christmas to you and your families. So it's just a little, perhaps he's right. Perhaps we suspected that was the thinking.
Yeah. We'll find out in the next 6 weeks whether he's going to be manager for the next 3 or 4 years or not.
Well,
they cannot stick with him after January if it's still like this. They can't.
The Southampton manager, who you could probably tell I'm a bit nervous about pronouncing his name, Ralph.
Ralph.
Yeah. Let's go with Ralph, shall we?
Yeah.
I think he pronounced it Rafe, but carry on.
Okay, well,
Ralph.
They went through that terrible time, didn't they?
They lost 9-0.
Yeah, lost 9-0.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. I've got nothing else, but I just thought that was
they stuck with him. Results improved pretty quickly after that.
Yeah.
Do you think, this is just a question then. Do you think there's still a couple of players in that team who we couldn't play the way Southampton play with Granit Xhaka in the team? I mean, I just don't. And yet he keeps picking him. We couldn't play the way Southampton play without Willian playing the way he is at the moment. We just couldn't do it. So we still, it's not just about the manager. We do have to get rid of some of the players
Absolutely.
And that's not going to happen until the end of the year, you know.
It's really difficult, isn't it? Because you have two in midfield in Elneny and Ceballos and the three at the back and then we're a man light in midfield and it doesn't quite work to get the fullbacks infield to play there somehow.
No.
I feel like we need somebody in there. I do feel it would be unfair on Arteta while Partey is not available.
Yeah. But if he's not available, he shouldn't have played him when he had a bad...
He shouldn't have had an injury. It really was a totally different team at Old Trafford with Partey there.
It was.
And you do feel as though that he is a brilliant player and could really make a big difference.
Okay.
You know, in the game yesterday, we sort of slightly mocked Damien earlier for talking about fine margins, but we lost 2-1 and Partey might have... We drew against Southampton, Partey might have, you know, 0-1 against Burnley. Team desperately short confidence, no, you know. So if he can get the first 11, if he knows what it is, if he's got an idea what he wants to do, but if we get in into February, March, and we're down in the bottom 4 and 5, I don't know how they'll react to Arsenal. That's the time when managers get fired by panicky boards, isn't it, as they see the Premier League.
Or November or December when we're going into the January transfer window.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do it.
I don't think they'll do it either.
I think they're going to give him this window and hope Partey gets fit.
We're going to be doing more podcasts like this.
We are.
That's the spirit.
We are.
Come on. My sword of optimism, your negativity is actually making the sword of optimism feel a bit lighter. Come on! Yeah,
the sword of
optimism. Onwards, Victoria Concordia, whatever it is.
Yes. Two games coming up in which we are allowed to do Mikel's favourite low-brot play-on-the-break tactic.
See what happens.
And who knows? Maybe it'll work again.
Onwards.
are we going to end on that positive note?
Yes.
Yeah, hey! Come on. What do I always say? 4-0 Arsenal. 4-0 Arsenal.
It's back on. Hey!
It's back on. I'll see. I don't know who's going to turn up for a podcast next Sunday, but I'll see you then.
Cheerio.
Ta-da.